Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Just Chill Podcast, episode 9. I'm here with my co-host, Alohe.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
And unfortunately, Jack could not make it. He had prior engagements, so we're just going to have to proceed this week without him. But that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine, because we have a lot of things to talk about here.
Yeah, and it's mostly news, so it's fine, just us two.
Yeah. All right. So first thing on the agenda for today, or for this week, I should say, is the whole Hillary Duff situation, where she's being accused by people on Twitter of child trafficking based on her Instagram story post about her son, which on one of the photos shows Luca, her son, lying naked covered in lotion. And she responds by saying that the accusations are untrue, invasive, and disgusting. Tells everyone involved in her criticism to quote unquote get a hobby. So I think this is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, to each their own. That's how I first saw it. Like, obviously some parents are more like, some, you know, some kids are like raised in a household where you shower together or stuff like that, and people, if they saw that on Twitter, they would obviously make their assumptions. Obviously, you really should be more careful with that kind of stuff, but I don't see how this automatically makes her involved in child sex trafficking.
Yeah, I agree. Like, yeah, it sounds like a bit of a stretch, and like that sort of child trafficking label will make like anything explode in the social media world. So I think that label is why it blew up in the first place.
Yeah. It's just people. I mean, she did say get a hobby. So, I mean, yeah, people love to make these kind of conspiracy theories. It's always going to come up. People did the same thing when, like, I don't know if you remember, but like Tom Brady kissed his son. They were like, on the lips, they were like, oh my god, like, this is crazy, but like, he's a father, like, you can't really,
yeah,
you can't,
I thought you that can't whole really reaction to that video of Tom Brady kissing his child was sort of unwarranted.
Like, bro, like, he's his dad, like, that's what I'm, like, everyone parents differently, and I think this is fine. She did say they covered it up. You know, people take pictures of like their babies when they're in the bath. How is this different?
Well, I don't know if you saw the post. I certainly didn't. But how old is Luca? Do you know?
He looks about like 8 or 8 to 12, that range.
Okay.
I didn't see the post of the thing, but I was looking down this article, and you can see like a picture of the kid.
Okay. Did it say like a text associated with that, like happy birthday or like?
It was from Mother's Day. She said, the skin, the blue eyes, the placement of his freckles. The best part of all is the placement of his heart. My sweet, sweet Luca, I love you all the way.
Yeah, that screams like trafficking to me, dude.
Yeah, people need to calm down. Send that big video.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're done with that. Do you want to introduce the next one?
Yeah. So I guess we're sort of on the theme with like popular women, I guess, because there's this whole thing with Ayesha Curry. This didn't really explode as much, but it was still like kind of significant. So basically, Ayesha Curry, Steph Curry's wife, posts a picture of herself in a two-piece swimsuit showing off her weight loss after giving birth to 3 children. And on one side, she received a lot of praise for like her progress in losing all that weight and, you know, just embracing the motherly role. And the other party is calling upon her hypocrisy by pointing out other tweets she's made about how everyone is barely wearing clothes any of these any barely wearing clothes these days. And she goes off to post herself in a two-piece. So, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think the original tweet, I don't think she was talking about bathing suits. That's not really how it works. Obviously, it looks like she's a hypocrite, but that's when she said barely wearing clothes these days. This is normal. Like, this is a two-piece is just like what everyone wears. We're not like, it's not 1940. So, like, I think she can post whatever she wants. I mean, it's funny because, like, this unwarranted, like, now she's, like, getting mad at this unwarranted, like, attention. And I don't know, like, a couple years ago, she went on, like, a TV show with, like, a bunch of, like, moms and shit. And she's, like, she was getting mad because, like, guys weren't hitting on her. That was so
funny. Oh, I'm hit. People use that against her.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess now she's getting that attention. I mean, good on her. She looks great. But it does look like I don't think her original tweets were referring to this type of clothing. Obviously, everyone's going to have their own opinion on that. But I don't think she was talking about this, like a two-piece. It's just funny to me how before she was mad that she wasn't getting attention. Now she's getting attention and that she's seeing a lot of flack. So it's pretty funny. But
yeah.
What did you think?
Now, I was just wondering, you bring up a good point of how, like, she meant something different by tweeting that tweet. Because when did she tweet, like, the...
That was 2015.
That was 2015? Mm-hmm. When did the Amber Rose picture come out? Because, like, I think she was referring to, like, pictures like those. And how that just, like, broke Instagram.
When I read the tweet, I'm like, I didn't read the tweet originally, like in 2015, but reading it now, that's what it seems like she was talking about, not like a two-piece. I don't know if she was referring to that specifically, but that's what I took from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I did the same way. I don't know if she's like talking about the phenomena with Amber Rose particularly, but just the phenomena in general of, you know, like a lot of edits into people posing with seemingly lewd and having that be like okay and popular on social media sites.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying
though? I see both sides of the argument. I see why the tweets I think are irrelevant. I think it's more of the thing that she said on that TV show saying like, I want this attention. Now she doesn't want the attention. So I see that side of her being a hypocrite, but I also see the side of she's just showing her progress. Like, it's a two-piece. It's not like she's wearing, like, inappropriate stuff for Instagram. Like, this is fine. Like, right? She looks great, so she can flex if she wants.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Speaking of, like, I don't know if it's, like, a tweet or anything like that, but... This sort of reminds me of something that happened, I think it was in this past week, with Jimmy Fallon about, he was, like, coming out and apologizing about, like, a blackface skit he did in, like, 2000, and people were, like, I don't even know if people, like, pointed it out. He just, like, went out and apologized for a 2000s blackface skit.
Yeah, like, I'm not, like, entirely familiar with the entire story. But I did hear about it, and, like, I remember seeing, like, Jimmy Fallon is canceled trending on Twitter. I mean, for some reason, late-night hosts always seem to find themselves in these situations, which is kind of funny. As for if I'm offended, no. But, like, I can see why people would be offended. I'm more in the camp of, like, I know what a joke is, and I can take a joke. But, like, I can see why people would be, like, mad about that. Obviously, you shouldn't do that. I'm not condoning it, but I'm saying that's fine. Like, it's no reason for him to, like, get immediately... Like, people have gotten away with much worse. So, I don't think he should be canceled.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think he would come out and apologize now instead of, like... sooner?
Well, maybe like their agents found it, like saw the thing, and then was like, "This is gonna get out." Apologize in front of the curve, like instead of it coming out and then have to like stating a public apology, it's better for him to apologize before anyone finds out. I think it's more of a marketing play than anything else, to be honest.
I agree.
Like,
Because, like,
apologize before the fact, like they come
right.
out.
Part of Jimmy Fallon's aesthetic in show business, if you will, is his, like, good guy attitude. Like, he has to keep that up.
Yeah,
So, by
yeah.
him apologizing to that ahead of the curve, like you said, I think it's gonna, like, maintain that. And also, it's, like, the era in which we live in. A lot of people are getting canceled from, like, stuff like Me Too. And, you know, just like the whole pro against like racism, tra like all that stuff.
Racism, sexism, yeah, all that stuff. Yep. I mean, it's good to see like the Me Too movement. Like, I don't agree with all the stuff they do, but it's good to see like a community of people who have been like affected one way or another come together and then like make action happen. Again, I don't agree with everything they do. Some things they do are very, very questionable. But it's good to see like people starting to like make a change. Like before, celebrities could do whatever they want, got away with it, 'cause like, but now since we're in like the social media era, stuff like that, people things get out much easier, and they're held to a higher standard, which is good.
What do you mean by like, what are the some of the things that you don't necessarily agree with proponent or how should I say supporters of like Me Too, or at least like hardcore supporters of Me Too?
Like, what do I not support what they've done?
Yeah, or what are some things that like you didn't like to see from these people?
First, some women in the Me Too movement are proponents of like, how should I say this? I don't want to say like feminist because feminism itself is fine, but some feminists themselves, like extremists, is what I
Right.
was trying to say. A lot of the Me Too movement are part of that. Not all, I'm not going to say all, but a lot of them are part of that group. And, you know, they try to make men look stupid. It's very hard. I don't want to get into like very political, but you know, they're trying to cut down men's rights, cut down this stuff, and they're taking stuff at face value, like the pay the wage gap, a lot of stuff they're taking it at face value, and really a lot of it is myth. I'm obviously a proponent of gender equality. I'm not saying we should go back to patriotism or something like that, but I feel like the Me Too movement excludes men rather than trying to see, trying to make the best possible way of creating gender equality, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I got you. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so that's why I don't completely agree with them. I see their points on a lot of issues, and I definitely don't agree with them on a lot of issues.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Just to like make a case, I think most or most supporters of like Me Too and like feminism and all that, I think a majority of them are solid and they're like pretty open-minded to opinions of others. It's just the extremists that are the loudest, and oftentimes they
Yeah.
don't have the best opinion, but since they're like extreme about it and they're the loudest, they get heard more often and they make most rounds and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, the strongest like women I know who are like for gender equality, obviously, are not feminists. Like they don't see themselves like aligning with the feminist organization or group. Because a lot of like they're the people I know this is obviously not empirical data, but the people I know, they stay away from the feminist tag because obviously it comes with negative connotations. When you think of feminist, you don't think of like the chill, down to earth, willing to talk to feminists, at least in my eyes. But like the people who I know who are like the smartest women that I know who are proponents of gender equality are not feminist. That's why I'm a proponent of gender equality, but I wouldn't call myself a feminist.
I see your point. All right, I think we should move on to the next topic. This is going to get a little heavy. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about the white woman who called the police on an African-American man who criticized her for not putting a leash on her dog in Central Park. And I forgot the man's name. I forgot. I wish I knew. I'm kicking myself. But anyways, he kind of recorded the whole encounter and the footage.
His name is Christian Cooper.
Christian Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Cooper sort of filmed most, if not all, of the encounter. And the footage showed the woman telling the dispatcher, "There's an African-American man threatening me and my dog." So that whole sentence made rounds on social media, and it's sort of like escalated. And in light of that escalation, she got fired from her job, and the dog is back at the original shelter.
Yeah, I mean, this song has been sung many, many times. This is nothing new to me. I've seen this happen many, many times. Seen it happen in front of me. Seen it happen online. Obviously, I haven't been in this situation. But if I was, I probably would have done the same exact thing as this guy did. And, you know, if you want to get the cops there fast, you say, what, African-American threatening. And they're on their way. What were you saying?
No, it was a joke in poor taste.
Ah, okay. That's fine. Obviously, he was being as polite as possible. He was saying, "Please don't come close to me. Please tell them whatever you like." And then this woman, clearly he wasn't doing, all he was doing was recording. Woman says, "There's a man, African-American, he has a bicycle helmet, he's recording me and threatening me and my dog." That is probably the fastest way to get the cops over there. Luckily, he caught this on video, because if he didn't, probably things would have went differently for him. Thank goodness he did. Am I surprised by this? No. I'm surprised by the amount of support it got, because a lot of times it doesn't. Happily, I'm happy that it did. She said, "I'm not a racist." The worst thing that these people can say is, "I am not a racist. I did not mean to harm that man in any way." Because it's funny, because like the worst thing is when you're racist but don't even know it. Because then you make these preconceived notions, and then you do this type of thing, and luckily it's on camera, so she can see it, reflect on it, and change. But if it wasn't on camera, this man got incarcerated, what would she think? She would have thought she was in the right. So the worst thing is when these people don't think they're racist. Luckily now she has to deal with the public backlash, so that's good. And good on Christian Cooper for videotaping it. And yeah, that's basically all my thoughts on this issue.
Yeah.
How about you?
I mean, when I first heard about this, I didn't go too in depth, and I thought it was just the media hyping it, to be honest, because like all the titles would be like, "Woman called African-American man," and that would just like hoard people to click on it because, like, oh, like, called cops on African American man. Like, that's a very, very hot topic right now. So, and I thought the media was kind of overhyping it to get clicks. But then I started reading about it and I heard what the woman said on the footage. And then I understood why it was such a big deal. Because she said that sentence with a preconceived notion, or there was some, like, other connotation behind it. And that's honestly, like, really upsetting. And I also felt sorry for the dog too. The
Oh,
dog was
yeah,
not
definitely.
having a good time.
Yeah, definitely not.
And can I say one thing
All
too about it, real quick?
in all, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's also like, I was hearing what you were saying, and the fact that you said that, like, was I surprised that, like, the situation went down? No, I felt that I found that to be very unsettling. The fact that you, like, weren't surprised.
No, definitely not surprised. This has happened many times. It's happened in front of me, like right in front of me. So, definitely not surprised that this happened. This happens way more often than it coming like than it blowing up and getting viral. It's because people don't record it. When you don't record it, it's his word, it's her word against yours, his word against yours.
Yeah, and
And
that's
you
like a
know,
whole mess.
it comes, he said, she said, and then
Yeah, but
hopefully you don't get in. What were you saying?
and I was saying, like, my issue with that is that this whole thing is now, like, starting to become, like, normal to the point where, like, acts, however racist, like, they can be, if it's, like, large or small, people are just, like, not surprised. You know what I'm
I
saying?
know.
They just, like,
I'm
take it.
definitely numb to it. I'm definitely numb
Yeah.
to it. Definitely numb to it. And we can talk about the next topic right now.
Oh,
Go ahead
Jesus.
and introduce it.
This is
Or if you
heavy.
want me to, I can.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I feel like you should introduce this one.
Okay, so heavy topic, obviously. We're gonna talk about the four Minneapolis cops who were fired after the video of them, one of the cops kneeling on the neck of an African American, George Floyd, 46, rest in peace, who died, yeah, later died. So, what were your thoughts on it? I'll give my thoughts after you go.
Where to start, honestly? Like, that was just like seeing the footage, like, in the news and just, like, online. It's just, like, fucking brutal, dude. Like, unnecessarily brutal. It's not like, I think some articles say, like, he resisted a little bit, but not to the point where you have to suffocate him to the point of unconsciousness and death.
Yeah.
So that was crazy. And we don't even know if they, like, because it was quote unquote physically resisted. That's what the police reported. So that's their
Yeah.
word. And
Yeah.
I think time has shown that their word cannot be, or they can be pretty dodgy at times. So I don't necessarily believe that 100%. Whether he resisted or not, it doesn't matter. He was killed unjustly, and that's fucked.
Yeah, that is true.
And I think the response is, also kind of crazy as well with all the protesting and all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a lot of people are making rounds on social media, like signing petitions on getting the cops charged, because I think initially they weren't. I think they're fired now.
Yeah, they're fired.
They're fired now, but
And we've seen.
yeah,
Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going.
like, even though they're fired, I feel like there's still or still some responsibility unaccounted for on their part. I do believe that they should be charged, like, with something. They can't just be fired and walk away.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I'll get into it. This obviously shocked me to my core, but I couldn't sleep for a night. It's the irony of it, because he uttered the same words.
Yes.
I can't breathe. Lord. That's what shocked me the most. And this man, what did he went out of his way to kill this man? There's four cops, four officers. You're telling me you're threatened by this one man who allegedly forged, what, a check? Even if he resisted arrest, there's four of you. Standard procedure is to cuff him, wait for backup. For him to utter these words, I can't breathe, and for him to continue to kneel on his neck shows me that this man, this officer, wanted to kill this man, George Floyd. It's like they say, like, I can't tell you how many times I've been scared of the police. I've only gotten pulled over one time. And for me to be relieved that I have a white friend right next to me is not... shows me how messed up the system is right now. I was relieved that I had a white person sitting next to me. I won't say who it was. I won't say why we were pulled over. Actually, no. We got pulled over because I didn't have my front headlights on. We got pulled over. I was shaking. But I was like, oh, thank goodness I have this white friend right next to me. As for the riots, obviously this is not, it's not a good way to, combat this, but I can see why people are angry because this is a widespread issue, but there's still no change. Nothing has happened. We've seen, like, these guys have gotten arrested, fired. But we've seen it happen how these police officers get fired and then rehired right after the case where they're like, okay, it was self-defense. How can this be seen as self-defense? This man uttered the words, I can't breathe, and it's funny because people have given, Colin Kaepernick gave up his entire career for this issue. And when I saw this again, just show up on my feed, I felt sad for that man. I felt sad for George Floyd. I felt sad for myself. I felt sad for the community of Minneapolis because I know people who live there. And I feel sad for the country because nothing has gotten done. It's been years. Hopefully now with these riots, people who are in charge of this, because it's funny, like the saying is, you know, fuck 12, fuck SWAT, right? The box, that's what he said, right? On Roddy Ricch on that song. But it's really the law. It's not the cops, because the cops are given this type of discretion to do this. If they weren't, like, this doesn't happen widespread in many other countries. So this can easily be fixed, but someone doesn't want this to be fixed, in my opinion. For this to be changed, I'm going to need the white community to be affected by this. What did Benjamin Franklin say? I'm forgetting the quote. But anyways, I need my white community to I need the white community to be outraged of this, If they see this, say, oh, that sucks, and scroll, nothing will change. Because we've seen that with a lot of issues. We've seen hunger in Africa. We've seen terrorism. We've seen all this stuff. Unless it's a unless it's an attack against us personally, we don't do anything. It's just sad. Change needs to happen. It sucked. It's really bad that here's the quote. Justice will not be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are. And that held true then, and it still holds true now. So, hopefully, based on the riots, based on what the videos I've seen, the white community is a part of this, especially Minneapolis, which has been said to be a great community for the black population. But this happened. So it's sad. Obviously, we shouldn't be rioting. But as a citizen, it's my duty to be outraged. And I feel like those citizens who are rioting feel that way. Obviously, it's misguided. I don't think you should be tearing up your city. But it is good news that we have people who are outraged and will not give up until this is changed. So yeah, that's all I want to say about this issue.
I mean, yeah, I think you said what all of us are thinking right now. It was actually like crazy nuts, the fact that you were relieved that you had that one friend in the car while the cop was like questioning you guys.
Oh yeah, for sure. I was like, I have a white friend. If I was in there alone, I would have freaked out. But I had a white friend right next to me. That's when I was like, okay, I'm feeling good. Like, I should be able to, like, I didn't do like a huge thing, right? But like, if I didn't have him there, I would have over like thinked, and I would have been like, oh, what did I do? What did I do this? And I would have been panicky. I still was shaking in the car, but I had him there, which helped. So the fact that that happens should show all of us that this, something is wrong with the system.
Yeah. Yes. It wasn't. God damn it.
You okay?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just fucked that, like,
now we have to deal with this in 2020.
A lot of things, like, relating to this issue. Yes, the fact that we have to deal this in 2020. Same cathartic behavior. Like, those who watch the podcast regularly, I want you to go sign the petitions. See whatever you can find that can positively contribute to the efforts for George Floyd, for everybody else affected throughout this whole situation. I want you to give them their support. Because, like you said...
Yeah, these issues require discussion.
Yeah.
I don't mean to put you, like, the white community on blast, but, like, amongst themselves, I don't think they have these conversations unless they're with, you know, someone like me, someone who's African American. But I'm more, how should I say this? I'm more easy to approach than what you, like, when you think of an African American, I don't feel, people have told me I don't fit that mold, right? I'm more approachable than others, right? So I'm able to have these conversations. I've had these conversations before. But for this issue to be resolved, we need to have the white community has to have these issues among themselves, like these discussions among themselves. Without that, this will remain an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah.
If you are a listener, please, if you can, just sign sign the petitions. Just have the conversations between either a white counterpart or if you're African American, have these conversations with your family, your white friends. Obviously, race is a touchy issue. But like, as soon as you start talking about it, you'll see another side to your friend. You'll see another side to who you're talking to. And yeah, that's.
So can I share like one story real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is like something, like I was woke. Like, after this experience, I was watching, I don't know if you may have seen this or not, but it's a pretty famous TED Talk of this one African-American guy. His name was Daryl Davis. And throughout the TED Talk, he explains how, like, early in his life, where he was, like, the only African-American kid in his Boy Scout troop, he was, like, leading the, and they had, like, a little parade going on in his neighborhood, and he was chosen to lead the pack, right? Lead this scout troop holding the American flag. But he met with like extremely negative response, and because he was African American, he had a different complexion than everybody else. And everybody reacted negatively, like threw rocks at him, and people were like covering him, but he didn't understand what was going on. Because he wasn't familiar with racism at that time until later on after that day where he asked his parents, why did they start throwing rocks at me? And then that's where he sat down with his mom and dad to discuss racism to him. And after that discussion, he had this question in his mind. And that question was, how can you hate me when you don't even know me? And that's a question that still like that resonates with me personally, and that's a question that resonated with him as well. And so he spent a better part of his life researching about like white supremacy. He started reading books about like racist groups, and it's interesting because he never found an answer to that question by reading those books. So the fact that a supremacist group whose primary goal is to subdue like another ethnicity or another race, if they don't know why they're doing the hateful actions, that's just like a paradox in and of itself, which I find that's crazy. But anyways, I was going off on
that. That's what we were talking about, Amy Cooper, and I was like, she doesn't even know that she's racist, but she is. For someone to judge you by the color of your skin instead of the cliche, the content of your character. Dr. King uttered these words many years ago. We have a holiday just for him. We have MLK Day. And that, I think that on that day, people should be asking themselves, did I do this? Have I done this? Because if you don't ask those questions, if you don't ask yourself those questions, and you're asked by someone else, you're gonna obviously you're gonna feel attacked. I can see why people feel attacked, and that's not my intention. I'm not trying to attack people.
Right. We're all.
But if you don't have these conversations, it's not gonna change.
Exactly. That's kind of what I'm leading into. The story continues. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, like by reading his books, he couldn't find an answer to his question. So eventually he came to the conclusion that if I'm going to have an answer to this question, I'm going to need to question the source. And he's a savage for this because he had a gig with like – he was playing in a band, like a traveling band, and they were doing gigs all around the country. And he had a secretary. Mm-hmm. And he went up to his secretary and he said, book me an interview with – a man named Robert Kelly, and he is one of the higher ups in the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
He's like the Grand Dragon, Grand Wizard. I don't know. Those names get me weak. But anyway, he was I think he was a Grand Dragon, and I think he said that was like one of the regional leaders, and Grand Wizard is like a national leader.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think it was a regional leader, Grand Dragon. And he was just like, yeah, book me an appointment with Mr. Kelly. Do not tell him that I'm African-American. And secretary was like, bet. And so they had the interview booked in a hotel. And prior to that, they went to the secretary and Mr. Davis. They went to a bar where Kelly usually goes at. But they didn't find him there. So, okay. And the bartender, he went up, Davis went up to the bartender, and he was like, yo, is Robert Kelly around? And he was like, yeah, just chill and, wait, see if he comes. And he never came. And I think one of the pieces of advice that the bartender gave to Mr. Davis was that, what did he say? He's like, do not mess with Roger Kelly. He will kill you. Like, this is the type of man he was dealing with. So,
yeah,
he scheduled the interview. It was at a hotel room. He accepted to have the interview because I think it was about a book that Mr. Kelly wrote. He accepted the interview, and they all met up at the hotel room. And right on time, there was a knock on the hotel room door. And the secretary answered the door. He greeted Mr. Kelly in. And Kelly, upon seeing Davis, they kind of froze. Because he wasn't expecting an African-American male to be in the same room as him.
Yeah.
And at this point, Mr. Davis was on edge. Because he showed his hands and to show that he didn't have any weaponry on him and that he was completely non-hostile. Because Mr. Kelly had a security guard with him as well, and he was strapped. Mm-hmm. So, if anything were to happen, even in an intention, there would be no restraint.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Davis is like, Mr. Kelly, how are you? Sit down and have some questions about, your book. And in that book, and, they have the interview as normal. Nothing bad happened. And this situation that happened within the interview was kind of crazy. So, throughout the interview, Mr. Davis was hearing a kind of sound. It was subdued enough to the point where it didn't interrupt the interview at all, but you could hear it still. And he thought it was, Mr. Kelly. Mr. Davis thought it was Mr. Kelly. And Kelly could hear it too. And then there was this one incident in time where it was louder than normal, and then they both looked at each other, what did you just do? Kind of look, you know what I'm saying? And so the whole room was tense, and the bodyguard was ready to see if anything else would happen. But then the secretary had an epiphany, so she checked one of the cabinets. It was one of the it was the ice trickling down because they had sodas prepared to be extra hospitable. So the noise was the ice. And so they got on edge because of the ice. And so they kind of laughed it off, and the interview proceeded as normal, and they left. And Mr. Davis puts it nicely. He was like, I don't think this was a, I don't know. I can't remember exactly what he said at the beginning, but he said it was definitely it was a teaching moment. Because of some foreign, unknown entity, interfering with their conversation, they, froze. And they immediately assumed, oh, it was you. And that kind of, negative assumption is what we're trying to avoid. And from that interview, he kind of came to the conclusion that ignorance breeds fear. And that's why I feel like we need to have these discussions right now, like you said earlier.
Yeah. Definitely. That was a great example of how you, yeah, ignorance breeds fear. Like if you're so out of touch with another community, you grow to despise them. And that's what I think these people are suffering from. That's why I don't attack them. I feel like attacking, like that won't really change anything. It's just good to like have these widespread like conversations so that it reaches these people and they can see other people's opinions and form their own. If they come to the conclusion that oh, I hate African Americans, well, so be it. Like you
You're
tried
basing
your
your hate
best,
off of nothing.
but yeah, like these people don't know who they hate, which is the dangerous thing. Because then when they come in contact with these people who they hate without knowing who they are, they make assumptions. Like this woman, Amy Cooper. I assume she thinks she isn't racist. She said she wasn't racist, but clearly your actions show otherwise. I don't think she's had these conversations before. If she did, I doubt this would happen. Which is why I advocate for these conversations to start, continue, and stay.
Well put. And building off of that story, like after that interview, they had like subsequent meetups, and eventually they were going to like each other's houses and shit. And eventually, like, Mr. Davis was like, "Yo, can I come to one of your rallies?" And then Mr. Kelly was like, "Bet, come through." Those were exact quotes, by the way. No, I'm kidding. yeah, he like came through, and in the TED talk, Davis mentions that Kelly was abundantly clear about his interactions with Davis didn't change his views on the Klan, but the fact that Mr. Kelly was able to like take time to sit down with someone of like different skin color, African American, whoever, the fact that he was willing to hear Mr. Kelly's opinions gave that emanated respect. And that sort of got rid of the ignorance between Mr. Kelly and Davis, so much so that Kelly actually quit the Klan.
Well, that
And
is
this
a
is
nice story.
from a traveling like musician.
Yeah,
Like if he can do
that
that,
is definitely
like
nice.
so can
Yeah,
you.
that's yeah, exactly. It's not like it's impossible for people to see that we're the same. We all bleed the same blood. And there should just be a mutual respect between each other. Obviously, if I have, I'm not scared of, obviously, I am African American. So if I see another African American, I'm not scared of that person. But I could see why you would be, right? I can see why a fragile Caucasian woman would be afraid if she saw some black person passing her car, right? But I want to get to the point where we don't assume that these guys are criminals. And as soon as that happens, I think the country will be in a much better place than it is today.
And it's important to note that the change, as much as we would like it, it's not going to be instant. These things take time.
Oh no, I don't know. Yeah. This is institutional racism that is within our police department, within our society. So it's gonna take years, years. We could be long dead before the ideal world happens. The ideal America, what she promised me, what it said in the Constitution will happen. It will be we'll probably be long dead before that happens. But I want to die knowing that our generation made progress.
Well said.
Yeah.
So, would you like to move on?
Yeah, we can move on.
Okay, so in lighter like news, more positive, SpaceX launched its Crew Dragon spacecraft into the International Space Station, marking the first time since 2011 that the US has sent its own astronauts into space. And before this is interesting, NASA has never outsourced the development of human spacecraft ever up until this point. And the justification for NASA outsourcing this project was that commercial companies could now like drive down costs of like space exploration while promoting innovation into said exploration.
Yeah, you definitely have bright minds like outside of NASA, so you don't want to close yourself off from company like private companies such as SpaceX. SpaceX has a lot of brilliant people on their like staff. So cutting them off will just be cutting off innovation and cutting off progress. So it's good that NASA did this. It's good for business. It's good for our potential learning of where we are and where we're going. You know what I'm saying? That's a pretty dumb way to put it, but
No,
yeah.
I get you. I think what's also important is that with the success of SpaceX launching, we don't have to rely on any foreign help anymore, specifically from Russia. Like, we don't have to rely on them for astronaut training or launch any more launches into space, because A, that's fucking expensive. That costs a lot of money to send like one astronaut into a Russian spacecraft and having them being launched into space. Like, that's a lot. But having like localized companies specialized in space exploration, like, that's good for our country.
Just to make sure, the astronauts were not like they were like from NASA. They did work for NASA, and we want to get to the point where these companies, these U.S. companies, just to make sure, have their own astronauts that are able to go into space. For now, for them to collaborate with NASA is good. And yeah, we want to be able to come to a place where we don't have to rely on other countries. We don't have to rely on anything else other than US innovation. And this is definitely a good step towards that.
Do you think, well, I think SpaceX is a big enough company on its own, but do you think there would ever be a merger between NASA and SpaceX?
A merger? Knowing Elon, probably not.
Yeah, okay.
Knowing Elon Musk, probably not. He probably wants SpaceX to himself. I mean, why? Like, why would you?
Yeah,
Like,
with the launch, it like exploded their stocks.
yeah, you want to be able to collaborate freely with any other private company as well. So if instead of going to NASA, you might go to another company. So it's good that they're separate. So it creates competition. Like, just like we had the original US versus Russia, now we can have the same thing happen but within the country.
Which is
Competition
ultimately
creates
good.
competition creates innovation. And yeah, so same thing, it happens in business, like Apple, Samsung, Google fight against each other. So yeah, same thing could be said about this.
All right. You want to talk about, I think this is the last thing.
Yeah, it is. And then yeah.
All right, so in for you UFC fans out there, Conor McGregor seemingly accepts the fight against Anderson Silva, which and they both like set a compromise to fight at 176. However, McGregor like is showing how am I gonna put this? He's showing like what's the word? I don't think conviction is the right word, but he's willing. McGregor is willing to want to fight
Silva at 185, which is closer to Silva's weight, which he has great success in the past. So for both parties, I think this fight would be beneficial because, according to one of the sources, McGregor needs to have one of the, like a fight like this to keep him occupied and in shape for like future fights down the road, while Silva is showing intentions to grow in relevance again, despite his prime being like way long gone. And I would argue that he's still like pretty good. Like, he's not the best as he once was. He's not like the GOAT that he originally was. But, and he did have a 1-6 record leading up to this point, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, but like the one win was a,
it was a decision, right?
Disputed decision. So.
Disputed decision. Okay.
Yeah.
And, but those seven fights, were arguably close.
Yeah, and they were all with top competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Fighting scrubs.
Yeah. So he was fight. Yeah, he was fighting like cream of the crop competition, who arguably was in more shape to fight than Silva at that point in time. But he still kept up with them.
Yeah.
So, and this, like, and I think the UFC is willing to push this because I think they want to market, like, fantasy-type fights. That's, like, what they did with, like, we talked about this earlier. Like, they want to push fantasy-type fights, and that's what they did with Cowboy and McGregor.
Yeah, like, definitely McGregor needs, like, more fights and able to, if he wants to fight Khabib again, or he wants to fight Gaethje, or the Nate Diaz trilogy. He needs another fight. As for one, I think he should stay below once. He says he's good at 176, but like he was prime McGregor was 155, 145. Like that's his ideal weight. Obviously, because the bigger names are in those weight divisions, that's why he went up. Obviously the interim champion is Justin. Justin obviously has a first say in who he wants to fight because he's the interim champion. So whether he wants to fight Khabib or McGregor, that's probably up for Dana to decide which fight will be better numbers wise. Because the UFC wants to push that Nurmagomedov and McGregor rivalry, like Frazier Ali or Tyson.
Yeah, exactly.
Holyfield. So they want that huge rivalry that would bring their, you know, their sport up, like, because they want casuals to watch this stuff, right? Casuals watched Muhammad Ali. Casuals watched Mike Tyson. Casuals watched McGregor, right? And he lost Nurmagomedov in a embarrassing fashion. So McGregor has to do the same thing to Khabib that he did to Nate Diaz, which is come back and win. And he has to come back with a better strategy, better strategy, better conditioning. Might want to bring the weight down, especially since he's not the champion anymore. So, yeah, and you obviously need these fights. Like the Silva fight will get numbers, obviously. And you need these types of fights to be able to show the public, yeah, I'm still in this. Like Cowboy Cerrone, like he's still a good fighter, but he's not the household name that Anderson Silva is. Yeah. So Silva is not washed up per se. Like his performance against Adesanya was very good. Like from when I saw that fight, I was surprised how good he was in that fight. Because this man is, what, 45 now?
Something like that.
He was 44 at the time he fought Adesanya. I consider Silva the GOAT. Either him or you could either obviously go John Jones, even though he's kind of a disappointment. We saw Tyron Woodley fight yesterday, last night. That was embarrassing. So these fighters that were like in that era of the UFC going from a really not niche, but like kind of niche to now mainstream. Now I think I would consider the UFC pretty mainstream. So those fighters, Tyron Woodley, Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz, Masvidal, those types of fighters need these kinds of like crazy fights in order to stay relevant, because now you have these young fighters like Israel Adesanya, who's like, in my opinion, is the pound for pound greatest fighter right now. And I think when it comes down to it, he'll be the GOAT. But you need to have these guys who are like in that middle phase of the UFC's growth to continue fighting, to bring those casuals. Because everyone knows who Conor McGregor is, but not everyone knows who Israel Adesanya is. Everyone knows who Cormier is. See, you need these types of fights in order to get those types of people coming on to the sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was well said. I agree.
So, yeah.
And I mean, it's also mentioned that McGregor and Silva have a mutual respect for each other. Like, I think McGregor even said at one point that
McGregor
Silva
said he was
like number one on his list of top fighters.
Mm-hmm. He put himself second, and then him first. I mean, McGregor is the only person to hold two belts at once. So I don't know. Yeah. It's close, but not Adesanya. Silva has had some great fights, bro. And we saw Woodley last night. Did you see that fight last night?
No, I didn't.
He kind of embarrassed himself.
Who fought last night?
Who
was on the main card?
Like, that was a main fight. Woodley versus Burns.
Woodley, okay.
And Woodley was not a huge favorite. He was a minus 190. But he got every round. There's not one round he won. And it was kind of embarrassing to see. So, yeah. Burns won, so good on him. But we need these guys, these pioneers of the sport, to remain in the sport.
Yeah, facts. I think it's also like why, like, yeah, like Silva went 1-6, and what was I going with that? Yeah, I think the reason why that he's getting as close as he gets in these fights, despite his old age, is because of the ease. I think they're starting to make like some like steroids legal. Or not steroids per se, but they're starting to ease restrictions on like fast recovery methods, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They're starting to ease up on that because a lot of people are doing it anyways.
Yeah, so you might as well. And like for Silva, that's very important because like his body isn't in his prime. So like you definitely need that. And like with these legends, when they're fighting, you need to keep them within like these fantasy fights. You need to keep them within fantasy fights because like you remember what happened with Ronda Rousey?
She started
losing. They started putting her in title fights. Still, she didn't deserve it. So good on them for like waiting with Conor McGregor, giving him time to get back into MMA shape when he was in boxing shape, giving him time, and then give him that huge fight. Because I think Ronda Rousey could have extended her career by 3-4 years if the UFC handled her fights correctly. Like, she lost to Holly Holm, obviously, but you can't give her these top competition, like, because the sport passed her. Because, like, she wasn't technically sound at all. She was just very powerful. She had good jujitsu. Mm-hmm. Then these women started coming up, and they were much faster. They were much stronger. They were
smarter,
better in jiu-jitsu. They were just better MMA fighters. So with Conor, they're doing a good job giving him these fights that he'll not super easy fights, but they're still like the fans will get engaged in these fights, and we get to see like his skills and we get to see, it builds up hype for if he's going to do the Diaz 3, which I would want to see, or Masvidal, or if he wants to fight Adesanya. I don't know if he wants to fight him, or he wants to fight Usman, or if he wants to fight Khabib or Justin. There's definitely a lot of fights he could do. I don't know. He might want that BMF title. That BMF title gets me weak. Are you sharp to like what it is?
BMF? No, I'm not.
It's just it's just the baddest motherfucker title.
I'm weak.
And they have like a belt for it too. Masvidal has it now because he beat Nate Diaz. So I think Conor wants that, so he's probably gonna fight Masvidal for that. Or if Diaz beats Masvidal, which I don't see happening, he'll fight him for that. But that BMF title gets me weak. Other than that, I mean,
welterweight champion of the world or baddest motherfucker? you be the judge.
I mean, that look at what it, like, look, it looks like. It looks pretty sick, I'm not gonna lie.
I'll take a look at it. By the way, did you want to see like anything else or talk about anything else from the conversation starters? Oh, this is kind of like a recent thing. Like, this is a last year kind of thing, right?
What?
The BMF belt?
Yeah.
That is kind of tough, I'm not even gonna lie. Nice and understated. Just BMF.
Yeah, for real. Other than that, I mean, is there anything you want to talk about? Like, what are we at in on time?
We're an hour and 7 minutes in.
Okay, we got time. Okay. We can talk about our jobs if you want to talk about that. So we both got a job at a grocery store near our house. So that's pretty cool. It's me and Alex. Alex, you work. He works at like as like he gets. See, this is what I'm telling
it's
you.
It's weird.
Because he got hot. So we did our interview together, which is weird. But he got hired as someone who's like in the front end of the store who like does register and stuff like that. And I got hired as like produce. So like I have to like stock the produce, like carry the boxes, and then and then unload it for the next day. So since my work is harder, I get paid more than Alex, right? But Alex doesn't work in front end. He works in dairy, which is the same type of work I do, just like, you know, in the dairy section. So that's what I was telling you. Like, you should tell the manager.
I'm hip, but like, sure. Well, okay. Charlene wasn't there.
Oh yeah, you should let them know because you should
compensate
for that.
I didn't have the chance to do that today because, like, again, none of the managers were there. But
yeah,
if I'm gonna be doing dairy, even if it's like half of my shift, I should probably like get my role switched. Mm-hmm.
I just don't know
if that kind of work encompasses the job we applied for, just like general stocking. But I'm doing dairy most of the time. So
you should definitely get compensated more, because like when we saw our salaries and it was like our yearly salaries, and
well, at that point I didn't know if I was going to be doing dairy consistently. I thought it was just going to be something for me to do while they get like customer service training for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't seem to be the case. Like, there was this one shift where I just did dairy.
Yeah, I mean, now that you work there more than 50% of the time, you should definitely get compensated fairly for that. But as for the job itself, I like the job. It's
Oh, it's
good.
such a bull. It
It's
is a
pretty
bull and a
fun
half.
because a lot of people from our high school live around there, so they always come in, and it's pretty funny to see them. But other than that, I think it's a good experience.
Oh, yeah.
I hope that I wish we get like she gives like our manager gives us like separate hours, which kind of sucks. But because like we have to get there two separate ways now, which is kind of a waste. But other than that, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to tell your Safeway story? That's kind of crazy.
Oh, today. Okay. So a woman came up to me and was like asking me about like these drinks, because like the produce section, it also encompasses like the smoothies, right? So I was like the smoothies that she wanted was at the top of the thing. So I had to like she could barely reach it. I had to reach it for her. So when I was reaching it, she was kind of like, oh, like don't touch it, right? Like basically being paranoid about the corona virus, even though I was wearing gloves, I had a mask on, which is standard for our grocery store. So I was like, okay, fine. You know what? That's cool. And then some woman comes up to me and is like, oh, like you verbally abuse that customer, right? I thought she was talking to me, so I was freaking out. And she turns out she's talking to the customer, which made my heart rate slowly decrease because I was like, what the heck? So then she was like an Eastern European, so she was like, no, I did not, I did not, I did not, and like in a kind of not thick accent, but like you could hear it. And then she was like, oh, that's victimization, stuff like that. I was like, and all I was just standing there with her freaking smoothies, looking hella awkward. I was stalking before, and now like a box I was stalking was like right next to me, and then I was just holding these two like smoothies in my hand, and then. And then the dude she was talking, she was the dude that said that the lady I was working with or helping verbally abused him, that dude dipped. He did not want confrontation. He just dipped. So then she started yelling at everyone, and then they had to get the cops on the scene and escort her out. So this was like my first second week on the job, and that's probably the craziest thing that has happened so far.
The fact that you had to get the cops out to escort like an angry customer, that's
And
crazy.
yo, she's like, I'm gonna report you. I'm gonna report you. I'm gonna report you. Thank she didn't point at me because I didn't even say nothing. All I did was help her. So if she got mad at me, I would have been pissed. But legit, like the entire time, I was trying so hard not to just burst out laughing. Because if I did, I would have been fired on the spot. So I just kept it in so hard. I was like, whew. I didn't laugh. So. That was probably my greatest story in a in store. That was a geek though, I'm not gonna
Yeah.
lie.
Yeah, I don't have anything too spectacular from my end. I mean, I hit my head, but that's about it.
I'm dead.
So if you thought I was like not that smart already, that just confirms it. No, I'm kidding.
Nah. okay, since it's just me and you, wait, what are we at right now?
114. I think it's a good time to wrap up, to be honest.
You wanna wrap it up?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
All right, so, and with that, thank you all very much for watching. And we'll see you next week. And also, please, please, please support the effort into encouraging conversation about, the whole thing that we're dealing with right now. Go on social media, just like follow the hashtags, see what's going on, and approach people politely and sort of encouraging the discussion that way without being too hostile or negatory.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Just like stay aware. Stay aware of the situation. Just tell your if you are a Caucasian or if you're white, tell your African American friend that they matter. Because today, actually at work, some woman came up to me and she said, "You matter to me." That really resonated with me, and I thank her for that. But yeah, just go up to someone, just say that you matter, and I'm pretty sure they will appreciate it.
I think that was very well put. So yeah, we'll see. Sorry, we also apologize for the delay. We promise to be on time next week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you for episode 10.
All right, guys. Peace.